Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Friday, December 19th, 2014. And with me today, I have two wily fellows. John Martellaro, how are you?
Good morning. Wily as I am.
Yes, indeed. And Brian Chaffin, how are you?
I'm fine. I'm shopping at Acme right now. I'm going to get that bird.
You know, I believe in you. You were persistent, and someday it's bound to happen. But besides, Acme just has the greatest products all the way around.
Yeah, here, hold his
hand. Maybe we can get him as a sponsor.
Yeah, what I'm hoping is if we do get Acme to sponsor us, that they send me out a portable hole to try. Because those things are just great.
I would so love that.
I want the rocket launcher.
Well, Brian already has his anvil. By the way, this thing is heavy.
Yeah, you can set it down.
Oh, thanks. If only I had a hole to put it in. Yeah. Anyhow, I thought we could take a look at this show, documentary, whatever, that came out through the BBC about the current working conditions in the Pegatron factories where the iPhones are made. And Brian, you wrote what I thought was just a really fantastic analysis.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I take here's the deal. Company you wrote up the fact that it was Panorama?
Yes, yes.
And this is a company owned by the BBC or just a company? Are they related? You call them the BBC's Panorama, but are they owned by the BBC?
No, that actually, I may have misspoken the article. I'm not completely sure if they're owned by the BBC or if they are a company that's selling content to the BBC.
Just a production company, yeah. So a company called Panorama, one way or another, a company called Panorama sent undercover reporters into factories that make stuff for Apple. Pegatron factories, and it was mostly an iPhone factory, I think, where they had people. And they just immediately started documenting various forms of abuses, various instances of Pegatron bypassing Apple's supplier code of conduct, intimidation. I call them intimidation tactics. They didn't, but that's what I think of them as, where they take worker IDs so that it makes it almost impossible for workers to leave a factory because you have to have an ID with you at all times in China, you know, kind of a, you know, go papers please, sir, but with a Chinese accent. And that's a way of keeping employees, keeping them from quitting, making them work, you know, 18 days in a row, I think, or 16 days in a row one of these undercover reporters was forced to work. You know, having to work shifts as long as 16 hours, all that sort of stuff. And it's to me, it was a damning video. And this is an issue that Apple needs to deal with. But at the same time, Apple is absolutely doing more than every other company, every other tech company, every other Western tech company is doing more to improve working conditions in China. Then Apple needs to get credit for that, but we I think as Apple fans and fans of Apple's products need to not give Apple a pass just because.
You know, Brian, I think it's so complex. There's so many political components here to this. It's almost like a game of whack-a-mole. You know, the Apple knows that there's business realities of the situation, and they try to do their best in certain areas, and then another mole rears its ugly head, and then they got to whack that one. And it's sort of like a continuous game of dealing with the situation, hoping that nothing really bad happens, hoping that they can get a handle on the things that they can get a handle on. But it's, as you said, it's an endless challenge, and there's no real way to win it. And there's no real way to deal with these leaks and situations where, you know, one particular facet is emphasized, and then they renew their commitment again and move on and try to keep everything under control.
Well, I don't think that Apple is playing whack-a-mole. We haven't even gotten to the second half of the story that Jeff covered this morning. But I don't think this is so much of an issue of Apple, playing whack-a-mole and then, you know, thinking that everything's okay and then not paying attention to it. I actually think that Apple's doing an extraordinary job in this area. And I believe that Apple's critics don't give it enough credit. But this is the reality. When you are as successful as Apple, when you make more money than all of the other companies put together, you quite frankly are legitimately a target for these kinds of subjects.
Absolutely.
It is appropriate for people to say that working conditions in factories that are owned by third parties that make products for Apple are terrible. That is an appropriate charge. It should also come with, yes, Apple has done more than every other company, but there are still problems. I mean, that's, you know, there's two sides of that coin, and they're both very valid. But I get really frustrated when fans of Apple defend Apple on this stuff and basically, you know, say, well, you know, stuff's bad elsewhere too. I mean, that's immaterial. Apple makes so much money. Apple has a responsibility to do this stuff right. The fact that Samsung does the same stuff, the fact that HP does the same stuff, just the fact that Lenovo does the same stuff. You know, and they're a Chinese company. I mean, the fact that other players are much worse than Apple is irrespective of Apple's responsibility to do it right.
Yes. Yeah. It doesn't matter which company it is. They all have a responsibility, and they should all be called to task. And so, of course, it's appropriate for Apple to be called to task. It's also easy to do this to Apple because they're a very high profile company, and
getting Apple in your charge is dramatically increases the chance that you will be listened to.
Right. And in this case, it also dramatically increases the likelihood that you will see real change because Apple is the powerhouse in the market right now.
And Apple stepped up its efforts. When this stuff first started getting some attention in 2010, and this is at this point, by the way, Apple is gone from making a lot of money to making unprecedented amounts of money. Right. And these charges started coming out of China starting in 2010. We had, I think, 14 workers commit suicide over working conditions in a Foxconn factory?
Yes.
Or a Pegatron factory?
It was Foxconn. And yes. And it got so bad that they finally had to start putting up safety nets so that if people tried to jump to their death from the rooftops, that they would fall into a net and not be killed.
Oh, you know, it's more than one way to skin a cat. But
waiting till lunchtime, bungee jumping for fun.
But the point is that Apple was already at that point doing more than any other company to have a cleaner supply chain. But in the face of all of the attention that Apple, the negative attention Apple was getting, Apple stepped up its already best in class efforts to become even better. And that's why I'm keen on giving Apple credit for that. Apple has done some, you know, Apple not only has the supplier code of conduct for, you know, worker rights, hours, exposure to chemicals, the amount of money that people get paid, the underage workers, all of these things, and the enormity of this task cannot be understated because there are so many players involved. And all of these players are playing in a country where worker rights are laughable by Western standards.
Definitely
and
true.
Where there is always someone willing to cut a corner or cut a person if they can make a buck from it.
You right. The point here, Brian, is that you can't really say that this video is an unwarranted bias. Maybe it's that you can't really raise a fuss and get something changed unless you take a particular approach. What do you think?
I don't know. Maybe.
Well, okay. So
if you're absolutely fair and absolutely balanced, then there's no motivation to change things and to bring it to people's awareness.
Well, the way to be fair about it would be to raise, like, one of the things we saw in the video was an important safety test that Apple requires employees, prospective employees, to take. Right? The workers were being coached through the answers by either Pegatron or by the agency that was actually doing the hiring for Pegatron. That was unclear. And in another situation, they were being coached to make sure you don't check the boxes saying that you won't work nights or work standing up. So it's just bypassing Apple's restrictions blatantly and willfully and flagrantly. And those are things we saw. Now, but the way to be fair and balanced about it would be to then also show working conditions at another factory making stuff for another company and compare them.
Sure.
And of course, we can't say exactly what that would show, but it seems likely that the conditions we would see in other factories would be worse, just because they may not be held to the same standard that Apple is holding the Pegatron factory to.
That, by the way, is an excellent point to make here, because while I said that there's always someone in China who's going to be willing to cut corners or even cut someone to make a profit. Sorry about the train.
Your ride's here, Brian.
Yeah, apparently. Not only is there always someone willing to do what it takes to make a profit, keep in mind that a lot of this drive comes from Apple's own requirements, because Apple has these, enormous needs for very high quality work. And they're the ones who are pushing Pegatron or Foxconn or their various component suppliers to be delivering on time and at the quality that Apple needs and the volume that Apple needs. So, right. Yes, there are people willing to do what it takes to make a profit, but that profit is coming from Apple's own demands.
That's a really good point.
And if Apple were to get Pegatron to agree to observers, perhaps?
Well, Apple audits. Apple does tons of audits. And there's a point. There are lots of observers already. There are third-party observers. There's the China Labor Watch, I think is what it is. Is that right?
No,
it's the Fair Labor. What's the organization, third-party organization that Apple contracts out with to do independent reviews?
I forgot.
It's not the Apple Labor Watch. That's actually a labor activist group that has been highly critical of Apple, unfairly so, in my opinion.
Nonetheless, there's a group out there.
Tell us about what the Apple's response today, Joe.
Oh, right. Okay, so Apple's response came in the form of a memo that was distributed to about 5,000 employees in the UK, and it was from Tim Cook and Senior Vice President of Operations Jeff Williams, and they said in this memo that that they were very disappointed with the production, and that they felt that it horribly misrepresented Apple's role in and Apple's efforts in improving worker conditions, and that it was a very unfair representation, and that they had given all kinds of information to the people making the production, but that they felt
at
that,
Panorama.
At Panorama. And they felt that information was not used at all in the production. And they also did acknowledge that there are ongoing problems, but that they are working to continually improve conditions, and that they're doing more than any other company to make that happen, and that they're going to take the allegations that came out of this video very seriously, and they'll be conducting some investigations and figuring out what they can do to improve conditions even more.
It's the Fair Labor Association, by the way.
That's
the
Fair Labor Association. Okay.
An independent organization that does audits. So let's also consider the fact that while Apple makes it look easy, this accomplishment of bringing, you know, 45 million, 55 million, 65 million iPhones in a quarter to market, along with, you know, 12 million or 10 million or 20 million iPads and 4 or 5 million Macs of various sorts. Apple makes it look easy, but it is a stunning accomplishment. It is a stunning accomplishment. And the reality is Steve Jobs said that Apple, and this is when Steve was alive. This was when Steve, when Apple was, you know, like selling 30 million iPhones in a quarter, not 50, right? He said that, you know, these jobs have left the United States. They're not coming back, and that we could never make this many devices in the United States. And, you know, there's something like 1 million people making Apple products for us in one way or another. It may be more at this point. And I would guess that it would require 3 million people to do that in the States, both because of working conditions, but also because by working regulations, but because no one in the U.S. is going to work in the intense ways that folks in China are lining up to work.
That's true, and I don't think anyone would be comfortable with a what amounts to a city factory in the United States.
Yeah, we had those at the turn of the 18th century, and people died to get us away from those.
That's true. I mean, that's why we have unions.
It's right. It's why we have a 40-hour work week. You know, and it's why we have a whole ton of worker protections that we take absolutely for granted in this country as a whole, and that don't exist in China. So what we're talking about, by the way, we're talking about factories where there are quarters for employees. And so when you get a job, you go work at the factory. You go live at the factory at the factory itself. You're living in their sleeping quarters. You're buying your food from them.
All the services that you need, like laundry and entertainment.
It's like
facilities.
The coal mine camps in West Virginia and
and the railroad towns.
Yeah, and the right. steel towns.
Right.
You know.
Well, you know. Don't exist anymore because technology has evolved.
Are people they who don't are exist still doing anymore, that. John, because people fought and died to get us protections from that crap.
True.
But they exist in China today, and they exist in plenty of other places today. And Apple uses that reality in China to get its products made.
But what I'm saying is I think eventually the manufacturing process of these devices and the technology will change in the future, such that we don't have to have workers working like this anymore in China. I mean, there's got to be a way out. It can't continue the way it is.
Well, as long as it's less expensive to have thousands and thousands of manual laborers than it is to have computers lining up and running robots,
yeah,
then you will continue to have the people doing the jobs.
But history has proven that technology usually ends up being less expensive in the long run.
One of the things I'm sorry, go ahead, John.
So that will solve, I hope and I predict that will solve itself in the future.
Of course, that's only going to lead to other issues because, you know, there are millions of people, tens of millions of people employed making the products that the first world uses. So now throw all those people out of work, and now we've got a whole other set of problems.
Yeah, but we move on to new things. I mean, they end up doing other things as a result. I mean, it's like lamenting the fact that, you know, we put a whole lot of people out of work when we stopped building typewriters.
No, listen, I am totally with you on that. I am totally with you on that. But I'm just saying that you're talking about trading. That's not a solution. It's a solution that is in trade, being traded for other sets of problems. It will happen, but it will bring other sets of problems with it.
Other sets of problems. But my hope is that the human condition will improve in the future the way it did in the U.S.
Well, okay, now you say that, but now with the lack of manufacturing jobs in the U.S., the middle class has been hurt immensely. You know, we have this wealth gap. We have wealth going to the upper tiers, funneling from the lower tiers in ways that have never been worse. And a big part of that is the fact that we don't have middle class manufacturing jobs where people can actually work, earn a solid living by making stuff. So, you know, it's great that we've got a lot of robots doing stuff, but again, it's not a perfect solution. It merely changes things.
I agree.
And there's another factor here too that we talked about in our morning meeting today before we started recording the show, and that's the reality that Apple is bringing an extremely positive effect to the overall Chinese labor market by being there. You know, Apple pays better than other companies, and that forces other companies to pay more too. And Apple is, by having better working conditions than existed previously, Apple is making other companies have better working conditions too. So things are better because Apple is there. It's just Apple still needs to do more.
Right. So it's no point in Apple pulling out of this process or trying to change it. It's exerting a great influence on the rest of the businesses, the competitors. Yes.
Yeah, and so hopefully in the long run this will, the trend towards better conditions will continue, and ultimately these workers will have better lives for it. And all the way up until your robots take over, John. All right, we're out of time. So we'll have to wrap up.
We could have gone another hour on that.
I know. We totally could have gone at least another hour. I'm surprised.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
I'm surprised we were able to contain it to like 23 minutes. John, thank you for joining me today.
And Merry Christmas to all.
Yes, and Brian, thank you for being here as well.
Indeed, thank you for having me, as always.
It's always great to have both of you here. It's always great to have all of our listeners tuning in, so thank you to all of you. Head over to the iTunes store and rate the show, please, because it's always great to have your feedback. And everyone have a wonderful weekend. We'll see you again on Monday.